Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott. I'm here with Andres Berger from Paul Cleaver Wines in Elgin.
That's correct, yeah.
Excellent.
Elgin, well, Andres, I studied Oenology Viticulture at the University of Stellenbosch, had a passion for wine, grew up in the Cape Winelands, and decided to study Oenology Viticulture. And actually, I went to Stellenbosch to focus and major in viticulture and not in oenology.
Oh, okay.
And we were introduced at university level into tutor tastings. And after the second tutor tasting, I phoned my father and I said, well, you know, there's one thing to grow grapes, but there's another aspect to it, and that's the making of the wine. So that was, you know, fantastic. My dad said, well, it seems there's a but. I said, well, the but is I've got to carry on with chemistry till my third year level at uni. But I actually enjoyed it. What I enjoy about, you know, having studied oenology and viticulture and focusing on oenology is I know the processes that's happening. You know, and when something goes wrong, you know what to do and how to actually prevent things from going wrong. But at the end of the day, the greatest thing about winemaking, and that's why I see it, is that winemaking is part science, but most important, it's art as well. You know, putting things together. So I was fortunate enough to be asked to start up a winery at Paul Cleaver Wines, and that was 21 vintages ago. So I've been making the wine at Paul Cleaver Wines for 21 years. Yeah. Elgin is a relatively new viticultural area.
Well, let's talk about Paul Cleaver first, because they were the first winery in Elgin, weren't they?
That's correct, yeah. We were the first to plant commercial vineyards in Elgin. The vineyards were planted in 1987. There was some experimental vineyards planted in 85, but not commercial vineyards at a neighboring farm. And then we planted the first commercial vineyards in the valley in 1987. The first wine of origin, Elgin, was certified in 1990.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Which 3 years later made it a winery in Paul. And all our grapes went to this winery. And I started as a young winemaker working at Niederberg, who used to make our wine at the time. And my father-in-law, Dr. Kluver, asked me whether it's worthwhile sending grapes to a big corporate like Distell to make wine, or should we make our own wine?
And you said, well, I need to be a head winemaker at a winery. I know the solution.
So, yes. In 1996, we built a winery. In 97, we started making wine on the property, and it's now 21 vintages. We are a family business. My father-in-law is Dr. Paul Kluver. He's actively involved in the business. And then my wife is the oldest of five children, four daughters and a brother, and four of the five children is involved in the business.
Yep.
My wife is the financial manager. Liesel Kluver Rust is the marketing director. My brother-in-law is the MD of the company. My other sister-in-law, Karin, is the horticulture, and look after the apple production, because Elgin is the biggest apple growing area, and we also farm with apples.
Well, let's just identify where Elgin is. So we're in South Africa.
Yep.
Hopefully the listeners can recognize the accent. It's not a Kiwi accent, just so anybody gets confused. And Elgin is along the coast.
That's correct.
So you've got, if you think about it, you're in Western Cape, which is Cape Town.
True.
And then there's a road that runs along.
We're about an hour, just over an hour southeast of Cape Town.
Yeah.
And you go along the national route into, and the great thing about Elgin is actually, you know, it's a new viticultural area. Mid-80s, there was this worldwide a search towards cool climate viticultural areas.
Yep.
At that time, there was no vineyards in Elgin. Reason being, viticulture in South Africa at that point was quota-based. So you had to have a quota to plant vineyards. And there was a minimum price removal scheme in place by the then KWV, which basically means, you know, if you've got a contract for 10 tons a hectare and you produce 15 tons a hectare, there was a minimum price for the extra 5 tons that you produced. So quality was never issue. It was not, you know, a system inviting you to produce quality, but volume.
Yeah.
And an area like Elgin, being cold, is marginal for volume. we have naturally low yields because of the cool climate. So nobody actually ventured into viticulture in Elgin at the time. And people thought my father-in-law was crazy to plant vineyards. You know, at the time where apple farming was much more lucrative than wine farming, which apple farming still is. But there's nothing like, we always joke about it, but you don't go to your neighbor and say to him, come and taste my apple. You go to your neighbor and say, taste more wine.
Oh,
you
know? I don't know. I like apple juice tasting.
Okay. But anyway, so the other unique thing about Elgin is that we totally surrounded by mountains.
Yep.
The valley was formed by the move of tectonic plates during the Ice Age. So to get to the valley, you have to cross a mountain range.
Oh, okay.
And to exit the valley, you have to cross a mountain range.
Okay. Does that mean the valley opens up onto the sea?
No. There's a mountains. We're totally surrounded by mountains. So,
okay.
So you basically, as a crow fly, we're about 10 miles from the ocean.
Yep.
But you've got to drop about 300 meters to get to the ocean. So we're on an elevated plateau, and our vineyards is around about between 300 and 550 meters above sea level.
Yep.
But the proximity to the coast is very close. As I said, it's about 10 miles.
So you're close to the coast, but you're cut off from the coast by mountains. So
correct.
You don't get Cape Doctor or anything like that, or very little?
We do, but not as strong as what you get in Cape Town. But what the Cape Doctor does, because it's the most persistent wind in summer, southeasterly. And when the southeasterly wind blows, it actually blows those moist air coming in from the coast up against the mountain.
Yep.
You know, as you rise in height, air gets cooler.
Yep.
So what happens is the whole valley gets covered in cloud because of that cool moist air that comes in off the ocean, condensates, and then forms cloud cover over the valley.
Okay.
And that's got a great effect for us on a viticultural basis because what it does is it reduces the sunlight hours and it increases the hang time of our grapes. So we've got cool conditions, you know, during the day with reduced sunlight hours, increasing the hang time. And the other thing that what we also have, because we on an elevated plateau, we have bigger diurnal differences between day and night temperatures than, for instance, coastal areas or areas like Stellenbosch where they don't have the same altitude.
And that means you hold on to your acidities.
Absolutely, yeah, and freshness in the wine.
Yeah, okay. And that makes sense because I was having a look at your grape varieties you're growing. You're growing things like Rieslings. I saw a Gewürztraminer there.
That's correct, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. You know, so we focus on single variety aromatic wines. We all know Chardonnay, you know, loves cold climate as well. And we have the opportunity to produce Chardonnays, which is very elegant, fresh, and citrus-like characters in our Chardonnay compared to more fuller and richer wines from Stellenbosch, you know.
Well, more apricot-y moving into
exactly.
Tropical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So the grape varieties, as you said, cool climate varietals.
Yeah.
Would you class your climate as cool, moderate, warm, or hot?
Well, in an international context, probably moderate. In South African context, cool.
Yeah. It's like the Australians go, I've got a cool climate. No, what you mean is you've got a really hot climate, but it's cold by Australian standards.
Yeah.
People go on in Australia about how Tasmania is really cold. I grew up in Dunedin, mate. Tasmania is lovely.
Yeah.
Just a little bit wet. So you're surrounded by mountains. Does that mean you've got water scarcity issues?
Well, we're fortunate that we basically, our property runs to the top of the mountain. So we've got a large water catchment area. So we've got, you know, water runoff when it rains from the mountain. And we've got enough reservoirs to store water for the season.
Yeah.
Because we're also in apple farming, apples actually needs about three times more water than vineyards. Yeah.
Because vineyards need a heck of a lot of water.
What we do is we farm sustainably, and one thing that we really, take conscience of is our soil health. You know, so we do a lot of things like cover cropping and mulching to make sure that we've got a live soil because, if you've got a live soil, the plant is better buffered. It's got more organic material. It's got more microbes that lives in it. And your roots will go deeper and wider, you know, and then you'll have more fine roots. And it's those fine roots that is actually going to absorb the water. But by creating those conditions, you actually creating a condition where the plant won't stress as easily. So we don't have to over-irrigate. And we've got continuous lagers and things to measure soil moisture content. What we don't have, like what they have in Burgundy, is summer rain, you know, every second day or every week. You know, we don't have enough summer rain to do not have to irrigate. So we have to irrigate.
Yeah.
But fortunately, as I said, you know, we have to have a lot of water for the apples. Apples are about the size of a fruit, you know, and the appearance. You know, wine is about the intrinsics of the wine. So you don't want to over irrigate. You also don't want to stress your vines. So that is quite important for us as a business.
So I presume it's drip irrigation because water
micro irrigation. Because
what's micro?
It's basically a microjet. You know, the reason why we don't use drip irrigation because we've got a very high iron content in our water and in our soil, so it blocks up the drippers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you will have a lot of maintenance on the irrigation system on a monthly basis. So because we've got very high iron content in the water, we don't use drip, we use micro irrigation. Yeah.
Okay, and I presume it's got high iron content because the mountains are probably volcanic, is that right?
No, the mountain is actually what is Table Mountain sandstone.
Okay, so where's the iron come from?
Well, the soil is the valley floor, which is now the valley floor, is actually shale with underlying clay. And it's a very iron-rich shale soil.
Yeah.
That actually used to be on top of the mountains. And with the shift of the tectonic plates during the Ice Age, the topsoil actually eroded down into the valley floor. And that's why when you come to the Cape, in certain parts of the Cape, you'll see the rock on the mountains. And that's Table Mountain sandstone. So in the Elgin Valley, you get two derived soil types. The one is the shale-derived soil type, and the other one is Table Mountain sandstone. We don't plant in the sandstone soils. You get a very quartz-like structured soils, but you know, loose gravelly. And the problem with that is that you get fruity wines, but wines without structure.
Yeah. It'd be like growing grapes on sand.
Exactly.
You get very light styles of wines.
Exactly. So what we don't want, so we only plant in the shale with underlying clay. And one of the types of soils that we also have, which is a subsoil of shale, is what we call ferricrete. And ferricrete refers to, in the soil, you'll have little black stones, almost look like coffee beans.
Okay.
And in Afrikaans, which is my home language, we refer it to as coffee clip, which actually means coffee stone.
Did you have some of them on your stand?
I don't. Maybe somebody else has got.
Because I thought someone just had coffee beans on their stand.
Yeah. But it looks like the soil literally looks like coffee beans, you know, and it's got this red soil with all these black coffee beans, you know. And that's also refers to the very high iron content of the soil.
Okay, now that makes sense. All right, then I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much, Andres.
Thanks.